The following audio was recorded at the Pacific School Leadership Institute, which was held October 21 and 22, 2021, at Waits Lake Open Bible Camp near Valley, Washington.
Well, good morning and welcome to our discussion of connecting with the community. If you came here to learn all kinds of ways to connect with the community and just sit here and listen, you may exit, because I am planning on having a discussion with you, because I do not have all the answers on this. And I gave you a handout with the idea that it would maybe help spring ideas for you. And this thing is just an idea. It can be enlarged upon, which is what I'm hoping will happen here. So, before we go further, I'd like to have a word of prayer here. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you, Father, that you have put us into community and that you have placed us in such a way that we connect with our community, whether we realize it or not. Father, we ask that you would help our community, our connection with the community, to be a way that we would influence in a positive direction, to show your love to those around us. Just direct us through this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so connecting with the community. Who is your community? And you can look on my thing here if you want to, but I have down the church people in our own church people, and then also people from the local area. In the past, we have connected with both types of people. Is there anybody else that comes to your mind when you think of community? Who should we include in community as we talk about connecting with community? It's pretty well all-inclusive there, but why is connecting with these people important? There's things that we can learn from other people. In fact, I would guarantee that most of you have learned something. Everything that you have learned from somebody. Have any of you learned anything that was not from somebody else that you can think of? What, Jason?
Oh, I watched frogs and observed how they did things before I learned it in a book.
Okay. So the thing taught you instead of someone teaching you. Okay, that is a good example of that. I hadn't thought of that aspect, but pretty well everything we know came from someone. Or I should say someone or something, right? Because of the thing of interacting with the things around us. So there's things that we can learn. We can learn life skills. We can learn history. We can learn culture. And if you were sitting in Anthony's session for the last time, we talked about culture a little bit, the school culture. There's a school culture, there's ethnic cultures that we have, there's cultures, there's as many different groups as you represent right here, there's that many cultures that are represented. I've had the privilege of living in several different communities in my growing up years. Each community had its own culture that shaped our family culture. And then I married my wife and she shaped my family culture. And our little family in our community has its own unique culture that some of the other families in the same community, and we've been there for 20 years, they do not get our particular family's culture in this one certain thing. Culture is very diverse. So we can learn from people's cultures. Science is another thing that we can learn from connecting with people. Are there other things that you have, that you think of, that we can learn that would come under the thing of learning something from other people? I'm planning on growing my list as well, so. World perspective, okay.
Being
And I'm hoping to later come back to these things and we'll actually expound on them a little bit more. So, any other things that you think of? Okay, if you think of things later, we can come back and add them in. Another thing you can, why it's important to connect is we can build relationships with the community around us. That building of relationships is a good way of witnessing. It's a good way of, well, I'm not sure how to say it. Building relationships that will bring fruit in the future, down the road. Maybe not always bring them to Christ necessarily, but the relationships that I learned in school, of course, when we first moved into the area there in Estacada, I was a transplant, and the students knew, you know, everybody in the community compared to this one new guy that didn't know anybody in the community. And I learned to know a lot of the community people by hearing my students talking about them. And gradually, what I learned became my knowledge of them that later, well, now I'm making donuts, and part of that is in our local town, and I'm getting to know these people a whole lot better than I ever did before, because I'm actually mingling with the local people on a weekly basis. And the information that I learned then helps me to place these people now. And then I discover there's families that are connected. This person is connected to that person that I didn't know about through that relationship, but the relationship is being built upon by the foundation that was there at that point. So relationships can be an ongoing building process that you can use in connecting with the people that are important in your lives. Okay, you can also serve. There's elderly, handicapped. Are there other people that we can serve through connecting with them?
Lonely.
Okay. I'm going to put down hurting on that one to include that.
Busy moms.
Busy moms. So homeless people is the ones we would be targeting on that one. Pardon?
Church leaders.
Vulnerable children, foster care, lots of babies.
Okay, I'm just going to put down foster world. Give the idea there. Okay. Our schools, high schools.
Private school.
Okay. Just connecting. Gotcha. To just help out in the school. Okay. Okay, let's look a little bit at, going back to the life skills, what we can learn from others. In our school, we go all the way through high school, and they have the option of taking electives. And there is a list of electives that you can get from Christian Aid Ministries. I mean, not Christian Aid Ministries, whoa. Christian Light, thank you. There's been too many things going the last while from Christian Aid, right? So with CLE, you can get a list of electives, okay? But there's only a limited amount of that. There's, Becca has a list of electives, and there's other things that you can find as a list of electives. But there's often, the students are not really interested in that particular list. They may be interested in several of them, but there's a few students that they want something that's not there. And the ideas that I have listed down here are some of the things that we actually have done in our school. We have the kind of set up the policy that if you want something that is not in that list of electives that you can get from these publishers, you can find what you want by finding your own textbook, bringing the textbook to the school board, saying, this is what we would like to use as an elective for our child. The school board gets to review the textbook, that kind of thing, and then say, okay, how are we going to implement this? Does a teacher feel comfortable teaching this, or should we? Is there someone in the local church group that can teach this particular thing? And then we have gone from there. Last year, our second daughter, wanted to take crocheting. And so you can find all kinds of books on how to crochet. And we found one. We actually found, the first one we found was rejected. We found a second one. We liked it better anyway. But then there's a local lady from church. She's a grandma, and she loves to crochet. And she had been a teacher at one time. It's a perfect fit. Geneva picked up crocheting, and I have crocheted all my life, okay? Believe it or not, I have. But she can crochet circles around me. Of course, it's been a long time since I've done a whole lot. But to watch her pick that up and interact with Faye Bechtel in just connecting on that level and learning to crochet, and Faye had done multiple different things, and she understood the language of the crochet book. Geneva can surpass me with crocheting now, hands down, and she loves it, okay? That's a skill that she learned for life. We have masonry. One of our sons wanted to do masonry. Guess what? In Home Depot, they have their how-to books. That's what we found one on rock work and masonry, and that's what we use as a textbook. Laverne Miller took that. Quentin had to do the assignments in the book, and then he went with Laverne to work hands-on for a half a day, however many weeks that it was, like one day a week. The end project was he had to come up with a project for himself. That project still stands at the end of our driveway holding our mailbox. Okay? Quentin built that going by the knowledge that Laverne had taught him and that he learned, and Laverne graded that project for him as his final grade. Just ideas. Think outside the box. That is working together with people in our own community, within our own church. Wiring this last year, there's a group that did wiring. John Burkholder had been an electrician in Texas. He understands it. He's not a licensed electrician, but as part of the wiring course, they built a structure, framework of studs, and just a little wall, and they wired the thing with a light bulb and a receptacle and did the basic wiring things. It was a good teaching opportunity. Home economics is something that we have done multiple times over the years, and they'll take different ladies from church. We'll take a week that is their week to teach one particular thing, so it's one day. They'll go to this lady's place to learn how to make bread. They'll go to this lady's place to learn how to maybe set the table in a formal way. Or, you know, the home ec books, they have different projects. And if you scatter that out throughout the whole community, getting the different moms to do the different things, it adds different perspectives, because guess what? You may know how to bake bread already, but if this lady has a different style of making bread than what you learned, you can learn something from that will broaden your perspective. And who is going to learn the basic thing of just regular bread? When you have the class coming, why not do something like garlic bread or braided bread or something fancy? You get the idea? There's so many things that you can do to make that type of thing come alive. Mechanics, small engines. We have had several boys that have taken small engine courses. And if you have someone in the community that understands small engines, there again, they can work with them on the small engine thing. That has happened. The retail thing. We have an opportunity this year. We have one of our students that is academically on a fourth grade level. He's a 16-year-old, okay? He is, part of his elective this year is to go out to different brethren of the church to learn different life skills. You obviously understand his skill level is not what a normal 16-year-old skill level would be. So part of his, the last 2 weeks, he spent half a day with me in the donut trailer. And the skill he is learning is counting back change. Okay, somebody wants two donuts. How much is that? Okay, it's $8. They pay with a $20 bill. How are you going to count that back? So it's 9, 10, and then a 10 makes 20. And then you count that back. When you put the $20 bill away, are you going to just turn it anyway? I'm a stickler on this because I was taught by a stickler. The heads have to be looking the same direction all the time. If I'm counting cash and the dollar bill is turned the wrong way, it just drives me crazy. But those types, I mean, just little things like that, you can teach them, and it teaches them skills. How do you connect with the customer when they walk up? He made a comment one time. There was a guy that came up that, it was an older fella, looked very much like a cowboy. He just made the comment, "Hello, cowboy, how's it going?" And I'm like, I didn't say anything. But, you know, we need to, there's relationship skills there that can be honed in on. And another thing that teaching him, always say thank you. If they give you a tip and say thank you, how do you respond to that? It's my pleasure. Okay? Be genuine in your relationships. There's a life skills. Now, will he be counting back change every day? Probably not. But there's other, those interactive life skills that can be learned. And the other things, I don't know what all the other men are going to be teaching him. I have no idea. He, 1 month is with one brother, another month with another, and another, and another. And it's like every other week that we so 2 times in the month that we work with him. Just kind of an idea there. Another of the things that we have done is ask somebody from the local fire department to come in and teach CPR classes for the students. And believe it or not, one of my sons, because of what he learned in school, he was actually able to save a lady's life. And this was, he was traveling from our place down to Halsey, and he witnessed an accident right in front of him. Someone passed him in the fog and hit somebody else head on and was ejected from the vehicle. He did CPR on her until the ambulance arrived because he saw it in school. And he was only, I think, about 17 at the time when this was happening. No, he would have been 18. So life skills, definitely life skills, and learn from school, because of somebody outside of school coming into the community, into school and connecting with the community. And in that way, he was also giving back to the community. So this is not just taking from the community. This is giving back to the community what you have learned. Are there other things that you think of life skills that you can learn from the community around you? Maybe you have done it in your schools. You know, if you can get a fryer, I don't need to bring the trailer. It is a life skill for me. It's my livelihood.
Just to enlarge on your retail thing a little bit, because we are in similar businesses as what you are. Just a couple things on that. One is how to relate to the customers. Ask them questions. How's your family? And that's all you need to ask for some of them.
You know, especially, this comes into cultural again, if it is a Latino person, you have to ask about their family. If you don't ask about their family, you don't care about them. That's one thing I've learned. Latinos, they'll always ask you, how's your family? It's because they care about you and your family is you. So ask that back. How's your family?
We had a brother come in and do some Excel work spreadsheet classes. That's something good to know.
Absolutely. And I do not excel at that.
I know for us right now, we're kind of, our oldest or our youngest completed 10th grade last year. She's not in school this year, but she's interested, and we were encouraging this too as well, in doing accounting and payroll. So right now, we're just starting to look for something.
Okay, if any of you have an idea, keep it until afterwards and talk to Elvin about it. Okay, other ideas, skills, life skills that we can learn. Thank you. And you know, that wiring class last year, part of their job was to redo all the receptacles in the whole downstairs building because, I mean, this building is close to 50 years old. So it was time to redo that. Things wouldn't stay in the plugs and all that kind of thing. So that was part of their project. Any other?
Woodworking.
And you know, that's something we have done over the years too, but I totally spaced that one.
As far as mechanics and stuff, I probably haven't been as intentional with this as I should because my daughter's a predator or more outgoing anyway, but I know some dads will teach their daughters how to change a flat tire, and you know, some of this mechanics is good for the girls too.
Exactly. I highly recommend it to my girl students that they take automotive Know Your Car. Why? They're going to be driving. I mean, if you can't check the oil in your car, you should probably not be driving it.
No,
I don't have AAA. Nope, I don't have AAA. Okay, let's go on to the history part of things a little bit. Local history. We have a lady in Estacada that has, she is a local history, I don't know if you call her a freak or what, but I mean, that's just her thing, is local history. And she has written multiple books about local history. You talk to her and you can get all kinds of information just pours from her because she is saturated in local history. That is, I don't know if they have actually done this, and Ed's not here, so I can't ask him, but the school board was talking about getting her to come and share some local history with the students. She would love it, and I think she would be the type that would make it interesting enough that the students would love it as well. For me, I hated history in school. For one thing, I could take, well, with CLE in high school, I failed the same test 3 times because I could not remember the dates on these stupid wars. That, you know, when was the War of 1812? That's the only one I could answer that. Otherwise, I'm just lost on it. And I failed this thing 3 different times. Getting history out of a book is really frustrating for me. But having someone that is very interesting and engaging to talk to, I will listen to history by the hour in that respect. So that is one thing that, you know, you can do to make that come alive. Find somebody that understands local history and have them come. Maybe it's only one aspect of it, but bring them in. Ethnic history. In our church group, we have a little lady that is Romanian. Her and her husband were both there. Alex passed away a couple years ago, so it's only Leah now. But she had been a teacher, both in Romania and in the U.S. And so she relates well with students, and she loves children, and she is a great one to bring out the Romanian culture to the children. We have used her to either talk about their culture, to talk about their styles of food, to give representations, cooking ethnic meals in their culture. It's one way of utilizing that. What would hurt to have a Hispanic person come in and share their history, their culture? Just something, somebody that has been in the United States long enough to realize there's a difference between the U.S. culture and their culture, and know what some of those differences are, and then share their culture in perspective with the culture that we are in right now. That's just an idea. Are there other nationalities of people in your area that you could utilize that ethnic culture to gain knowledge and insight on? Any other things that you have to add on that one? That could be both in culture and in history.
Somebody just brought some articles from a few years back of local church history and local community history, and I just thought maybe more church history, depending on where you're from, some of it we don't know, and I think that's kind of important part of school church.
Which brings something to mind, and you probably don't know that I know this about your church history, but I do know that there were found in the attic of your church spittoons.
I don't doubt it.
Why do I bring this up? This is a part of a history. Was that church always a Mennonite church? I was pretty sure that somewhere in the cultural history of the Hopewell Mennonite Church, they were using spittoons.
I think there was one on the pulpit at the beginning.
Really? This is part of their history. Thankfully, they're not there now.
And I think it was 1898 or give or take a few years when it was.
And if that shocks you, just think back how many Amish people use tobacco today. There's quite a few that would. So there again, that's a history fact that he didn't know that I knew, and I can't quite remember who told me, but it just serves to my mind right now. Things that you can learn. And what brought about this change? Why do we no longer do that? These are learning experiences that you can use as teaching experiences for your children. Okay? Anything else?
His theme, I think, was other places.
That's a great idea. Did they have food along as well?
Maybe. But then he had a big, you know, little atlas, and then he would put dots on each one that was spoken on. And I even got to do one on Honduras, I think.
Okay. That's a great idea. You can learn so much from other cultures. Some of the cultural things that we have done, going on down to the actual culture part, we had a local guy that had collected Indian artifacts over the years. And this was quite a few years ago that we had him come. There were arrowheads, there were spearheads, there were all kinds of stone tools that they had made. And he knew the history of how they used them and that kind of thing. And it was really interesting. I do not remember everything he had, but I do remember it was very fascinating. So that was one of the things that we had done that was more related to culture. Are there any other things that you want to add to the culture part? Because we've kind of included the history and the culture together.
Something just came to me right now, but our school is close to Woodburn, and there's a huge percentage of Hispanics and a huge percentage of Russians live there. And it would just seem appropriate to better understand those, since that's where they're ones around our community.
Good point. Especially if you have larger groups of those, it's good to understand them so that you can relate to them in a way that's not offensive. One particular thing that comes to my mind in working with the Russian schools that we discovered early on is you never just stay seated to pray. You either kneel or you stand. To stay seated shows irreverence. And that was one of the things that I had to get used to because, okay, we sit around the table, we're sitting to pray before a meal. They don't do that. It is my understanding they would stand behind their chair to pray and then sit down because of that. Just a little cultural fact that if you're relating to a certain culture can be a means of not being an offense to them. And I understand in Bangladesh, you don't show the bottom of your feet to those around you. When you're sitting, keep your feet down. It's a cultural thing that has a meaning to it. So it's good to know some of these things, especially if you're relating with a different culture.
Our community has a lot of Adventists, actually quite a variety. I call it the Lancaster County of the Adventists. There's about every stripe. But so we have Adventist friends who are in business, and we sometimes have them in our house. So we want to make sure we don't serve meat or for sure not red meat. And there's different varieties of that, but it's been good for us to do that. Find out you can actually eat a pretty decent meal without any meat.
Are you sure about that?
My teenagers don't think so, but actually we can make a pretty good meal with rice and beans.
That's a really good point. In our school we have some Ukrainians and we have some Hispanics, and the Hispanics are sending the dentists. So like if you bring hot lunch in, they'll eat chicken, they'll eat some of the kosher meats, but really good thing to know. I mean, when you actually have students that are that way, you think about it a little different too.
You don't throw bacon into everything. Okay, let's go on into the science world. There are some of the things that we have done in our school. There has been a local guy, and I actually missed out on this one, and I wish I wouldn't have, that was a geological guy. I love rocks, and that anything to do with rocks I am very thoroughly interested in. But he brought a rock collection to school and was talking to the students about the rocks. I missed it, but that kind of thing has been interesting. In fact, our children still talk about that guy. Another one that we did just this week, not this week, just last week, because of one of the customers that I had at the donut trailer, he came around getting a donut one time, and I got to talking about it with him, asking him questions about his own, you know, how his day was going, this kind of thing. And he said, I just came from capturing a spider, and it's a poisonous spider. I said, really? He goes, yes. Since COVID came, and the shutdown, you know, it was like, okay, I need to conquer some kind of fear in my life. And I hate spiders. He said, I hate heights, but I can't overcome that at home. I don't really have that high of a thing to go through, you know, to try to conquer that fear in my life. Maybe I should conquer my fear of spiders. So he goes and he buys the biggest spider in the world. Do any of you know what the largest spider in the world is? It's a bird-eating tarantula. Okay, he got the small baby one, or it was a smaller one, still about yay big at this point, but the thing gets to be about yay big. He bought this thing to take care of. So he's got his tarantula. He got his terrarium fixed up for this tarantula. And he continues to add to this collection. His goal is to have one variety of every poisonous spider out there. And the tarantula, the black widow, the brown recluse, and the hobos. All of those are found in Oregon somewhere. Right where we are, we don't have many poisonous ones. But that day, he had just come from finding one of the only poisonous ones that we have right in our local area. And he had captured it. And this piqued my interest. I love critters. And I don't hate spiders like he did. But he showed it to me through the cup lid, just by letting it down on the white lid. I could see the outline of it, but he didn't want to take the lid off because he was afraid of what the thing would do. And he worked hard to get this thing without touching it. So I got to asking him about this. He mentioned that he's a believer and was talking about how God had made these spiders so interesting. And I'm like, okay, this guy needs to come to our school. I said, would you have a problem if I would bring a group of students to your house to see your spiders? Oh, I never thought of doing that. Or if you would bring him to school. You know, I think it would work better if I would actually bring him to your school than if you would come to my house, because I would have to clean up my house first. And I said, well, let me talk to the teachers about this, and we'll see if we can get this to happen. So last week, we made it happen that he brought out his spiders. Now, he did not bring some of the spiders, but he had about 11 different styles of tarantulas. And he had a scorpion, and he had some hissing cockroaches. And he had a whole bunch of crickets, because he wanted to feed the spiders while we were there so we could watch them eat. Spiders only eat about once a week is when he feeds them. They can go a year without eating. Did you know that? That tarantula, that bird-eating tarantula, it actually died in a molt. Somehow it messed up when it was molting, and it actually died on him. So he has to get another one. But he said even a small tarantula, if of the bird-eating kind, if they bite your finger, they can break your finger. Just a spider. When they get big, they can bite your arm and break your arm. Just a tarantula. He doesn't carry his tarantulas around, but he lived in Cambodia, I think he said. And he said the children capture them on a regular basis because the locals will pay $1 for every tarantula so they can eat it. That's part of their diet. So one of the students asked him, so did you ever eat a spider? He said, yes, I did. The only part that is not very good is the claws on them. They aren't very soft. Otherwise, it tastes like chicken. So anyway, it was a very interesting time. And, you know, of course, there's all these girls that are, you know, petrified of spiders, but there's something about seeing those spiders in their cages there is just attractive. And they were just all, you know, around this thing. So that was a very interesting thing. Find people with collections, unique collections that you can bring into your school to share things, to teach things, interact with the community. Another thing I have heard of doing, I did not actually do this, there was a guy with a man lift that would go up 60 feet, and he brought it to school, and giving the students rides up, you know, that fear of height thing, you feel that. If you've never been up in a man lift, even 40 feet, you need to do it sometime just for the sensation that makes you catch your breath. Part of the thing that they did was see how far atmospheric pressure would push liquid up a hose. Did you know there's a limit to that atmospheric pressure? You can absolutely not pull it up higher than a certain distance. And basically, if you stop off the end of the hose, put a cap on it to where it can't get any air through, you totally fill that hose with water first before you cap it off, and you leave the end in the bucket, you can go straight up through. Clear hose works great because you can see where the water line is. You can have a 60-foot hose, but the water will only go up to a certain point and stop there. How many of you know what that point is? Does anybody know?
Over 30 feet, right?
Well, I'm not exactly sure, but if my memory serves me right, it's between 28 and 32, somewhere in that range. It's not that far, and you'd think, can't you suck it up higher than that? No. Atmospheric pressure is what pushes that up there anyway, and by the time you get so high, your atmospheric pressure just stops. So that's something that was done. Okay. So, fish hatchery. We have a lot of local fish hatcheries. We took the students to the fish hatchery one day and watched them spawn the fish. Now this is commercially, so they would actually catch the fish in this tank, grab them out, knock them on the head. The females, they would cut open their bellies and pour all the eggs into a bucket, and they grab the male and they would squirt the sperm over the eggs, pitch the dead fish into their respective places to go out to a processing plant that they would actually use the fish. And it was a very interesting process to watch. And then after that, they actually took us through the hatchery part and showed us eggs in different stages of development and talked about the whole process of how the fish go out, how many go out to compared to how many come back in the year's time, that kind of thing. What is your local industry that is a typical thing for your area? Draw people together, bring your students out in that to learn that, because it's part of who they are, part of their community. So that's just an idea. Now, the how can you serve part. These are things that we have done. Knitting caps. There's one of the local ladies connected, she's an older lady, same one that actually taught crocheting, used to take our middle grade students to a retirement center that these older people would sit around and crochet hats for giving away over Christmas time. And so our students, our children, would go in with this lady into the retirement center, mingling with these older people, knitting caps. And these older people supplied them the yarn to make the caps, because they were going to be donating those caps to the same cause that the older people were. And our children got to talking about these older people as if they were their grandparents. I don't even personally know a lot of these older people, but our children can relate to each other, connecting with this lady and that lady or that fella in that local setting. It made a huge impression on them that there was this group of children that was actually willing to do this. So that was one of the things we've done. Another one, leaf cleanup. This was when Ed was not teaching, but he would take the students from school in the afternoon, right after school, one or two days a week, and they would go out in the fall and they would do leaf cleanup projects at different people's places. And this was often elderly people or handicapped people that they would do it at. And that built relationships in the community as well. Christmas caroling is another thing that you can do as a group, school group. You can go out Christmas caroling. You don't have to wait for the whole big group. How many of you do that with your students? A few of you do. Good. I think there should be more of that. Another thing that we have done in the serving aspect, there was a guy that did the Gideon Bibles, came out and did a presentation at our school of what they do with the Bible work with the Gideons. And he also gave the students each a Bible. But it was something that the students remember and could learn from. They still talk about that. Are there other things that you can think of ways that you can serve the community? I'm sure there's many that we haven't touched.
Write letters. There's a government housing just right down the road. So a couple of years ago, I just went down and met several people and said, hey, can you have your address? I'm giving my students an assignment. So they'd like to write you a letter. And that was a fun project. Fun to connect in that way.
Very good.
Roadside cleanup might be more for the older students, probably.
Roadside cleanup.
The shoeboxes, like Operation Christmas shoeboxes.
Okay, that sounds like an interesting project. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your input in this. You made it interesting. One thing we remember, or we can remember, we don't have to do all of this in 1 year, please. You'll have a super busy year. And then next year, what are you going to do? But implement these things as you go. They can, and these are just ideas. Your imagination is the limit on how far you can go with these things, but find ways to interact with the community. It'll bless you and it'll bless them. Thank you.